Good afternoon. I know that we've talked some about you, Chris. I know that Brett has, particularly on a couple of Thursdays he's done, and on Fridays, that's his, one of his favorite topic, or maybe I guess his favorite subject to talk about. He does a great job with it. There's just so many things in this chapter that have confused teachers and theologians throughout history. But there's sort of two running things happening here in this chapter. One is that Jesus has come, as you know him, as the bread of heaven, and that if we'll behold him, and the language there is continually behold him, cultivate intimacy with him, practice his presence, and believe him, that he says we'll experience eternal life. We'll experience this. We'll participate in the life of God on a daily basis in all that we do. That's a spiritual reality that's just wonderful. But then he sort of crosses back and forth that there's another way in which he also does that, reinforces that reality, and that is through Eucharist, by eating his flesh and drinking his blood. This mystical thing that's called Eucharist, and as we do that in an incarnational way, there's also a fresh infusion of life. The contradiction, I think, the confusion can be, and I think that it's really important that people who teach about this understand where the confusion can lie, is that if you're a Christian, you can't get more of the life of God. He says, of his fullness, we have all received. It says, for all the fullness of deity is embodied in him, and you have been made full or complete in him. So it's not like you get some of Jesus and then later you get more of Jesus and you get more of Jesus. And so when people talk about getting more, we've said this before, that I understand talking about getting more of a experience of him from my experience of him increasing, but you can't get more of him. These are verses in John chapter 6. There's sort of this transition. It's mixed in here where he's talking about just my walk with him spiritually, that he's in me as the bread of heaven. And as long as I behold him and trust in him, I'm going to just keep experiencing this life of God that I'm in union with. And then he talks about Eucharist. But here's like a real strong turn. In verse 53, or verse 51, I'm sorry. I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. He said, I am the living bread. If anyone eats this bread, he shall live forever. The word forever there is the same word eternal. It's the same word age. We'll live in the eternal age to come kind of life. And the bread also, which I shall give for the life of the world, is my flesh. In verse 33, he says, for the bread of God is that which is coming down out of heaven and gives life to the world. And he later says in verse 35, I am the bread of life. Verse 53, Jesus said, I truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourself. For he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who eats me, he shall also live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as the Father ate and died, but he who eats this bread shall live the age to come kind of life. So when he makes statements like, if you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. There are traditions in Christianity would say that if you don't receive Eucharist, you don't have eternal life. That you're not going to go to heaven if you don't partake of Eucharist. And so it's important that we explain that that's not what that's saying. What he's talking about, what he's talking about is this, let me give you this example. So all of you, I guess, have read the Chronicles of Narnia. If you haven't, you need to repent and watch the Chronicles of Narnia. Or at least watch it if you haven't read it. But in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, there's a story of these children from England who cross through the wardrobe into Narnia. And so there are Englishmen who've become kings and queens in Narnia. But the gospel says, and this is John, the same guy who wrote earlier about being, unless you're born from above, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven. You can't see the kingdom of heaven. You have to be born from above, born again, which is the word literally born from above. So he talks about being born from above. He talks about bread which comes from above. I have come from above. And for the life of the world. So in Lewis's vision is really powerful, but the reality is, for us as Christians, we're not Englishmen, using the Chronicles analogy, who've now gone into Narnia, but we're Narnians. We're born Narnians. Once you become a Christian, you're born Narnian. And you've crossed through the wardrobe into England to impact England, to win England to Narnia too, to become born Narnians. And we come into England as Narnians with the spirit of Aslan in us. And as long as we trust him, we get to experience all that Aslan is and all that Aslan has. But we're also been given food that comes from Narnia to help Narnians. And that food is supernatural because it comes from Narnia, bread from heaven. And you say, well, what is that food? Well, it is Aslan. Well, I thought Aslan lived in you. Yes, he does. But he also gives himself to us in a magical way through food that is him in the form of bread and wine. That as we partake of, we don't get more of Christ. We just have a fresh infusion of life. Again, a pipe that's put into an artesian well that's open on both ends, the water just flows. And so every time we look to him who lives in us and we trust him, there's just this fresh flowing of life. It's all the same artesian well, but it's a freshness to it. But also every time we eat the bread in a very practical and profound way, we have an encounter with life again, and there's a fresh infusion. It does awaken things in me. That's why he says, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can't abide in me. And yet, anytime I've ever read anything about abiding in Christ, it's all from John 15, and it's about trusting the Aslan that lives in you, resting in him and drawing from his life. But he comes to us from the inside out and from the outside in. That's the miracle of it all, because that's true about John 15, about abiding in the one who lives in me. But there's also this scripture that says, unless I eat his flesh and drink his blood, I can't abide in him. It does matter. It nurtures my abiding life. Now, understand that some of the most powerful teachers about this abiding life, who've written some of the greatest books throughout history, people who that I've read all my life, many of them, if not most of them, did not really have much of a vision for Eucharist. And so to say they really didn't really know this life and life more abundant would not be fair. They did. They wrote about it, where many, if not most Christian leaders just missed it. It's just like I would say, there are many people who I know that talked about walking in the Spirit and being filled with the Spirit, but they weren't charismatics. But they were certainly Spirit-filled people. But there were some pieces missing that they could have even known more. But their theology, their words about God, their understanding, didn't leave room for the more. Oh, you really can have a private prayer language between you and the Lord. You really can give prophetic words. You can give words of knowledge like we do here in prophetic words. You can really pray for the sick and they can be healed. Those things can happen too. Not just because God will do them sovereignly every now and then. It's just part of the way Jesus lives. And yet they were some of the most profound men and women who wrote the best stuff in church history about this being in Christ thing. What if the enemy was behind people not understanding about the gifts of the Spirit? Oh, what if he couldn't stop them from learning about abiding in Christ, he could stop them from getting that part of it. If they could not stop us from discovering about abiding in Christ, he could rob the Eucharist from us. Or we get so hung up on the Eucharist, or get so infatuated with the Eucharist, we don't understand that if I I receive the body and the blood of Christ, it assists me in walking out of here and abiding in him step by step, beholding and believing. You with me? You're a Narnian who's been sent into England with Aslan living in you, and he's given you food to carry with you. Because Aslan's in you, and every time you believe him, there's just this fresh infusion of life. You're not getting life, you're just as a fresh infusion from the inside out. Rivers flowing. And every time we receive Eucharist, that same thing happens. And so if you ever long for an encounter with the Lord, every time you receive Eucharist, you do. Every time you walk into Walmart, and Jesus says to you, I have peace about being in Walmart. You know, yes, we do, Lord. There's a fresh infusion of life. But Eucharist is food that helps us on the journey. It's a nutrient. It's spoken that way as a bread from heaven that helps me abiding. So what if we brought both those things together? That we drew from the Aslan who lived in us on the inside, and we fed on the Aslan who's offered to us in the Eucharist. Man, we would be rocking Narnians in this fallen world, okay? That's why this verse that Bracken read, I like it because it says, for the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. That word there, comes down from heaven, is in the present tense. Jesus came down from heaven and he's here. But there's a sense in which there's a bread of life which is always coming, continually coming, and it's for the life of the world. Every time I receive Eucharist, it infuses me with his life. That matters. It impacts my Christian life. Now you understand why Paul said what he said in 1 Corinthians 11. Some of you don't get that, and therefore you're weak spiritually. Some of you are sick and even dying premature deaths. Because the food, which is Aslan, will help us live by the life in us, which is Aslan, in this fallen world that wants to drain life out of us. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, amen. So sometimes people ask me, what are you? Are you like a Catholic? No. Were you a Pentecostal? Well, no. Are you charismatic? No. Are you evangelical? I'm a Catholic, Pentecostal, whatever I am. I'm all those things. Why would we not want to be at all, right? Amen.